right, what's going on, everybody? My name is Sean Vaughn, and this is Champions Material, Season 3. We are here. As always, happy to be here. Appreciate the support from each and every one of you. So to premiere Season 3, we're going to talk all things NBA. In Part 1, we're going to talk about the NBA's upcoming 75th anniversary team, the best of the best. Also, we're talking Kyrie on the court and off the court. In Part 2, we're going to talk about Ben Simmons on the court, off the court, and then we're going to preview the upcoming NBA season. And with me today to do all that and more from Villains and Vinyl and VCW, my man CJ. What's going on, man? Welcome to Champions Material, brother.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. It's always a good time to kick it and talk these NBA and kind of school you on the right opinion.
Come on, man.
I
could try to be Stephen A, but I don't think it'll work. I may try to get my Shannon on for this one. But so let's kick this off, man. So look, the NBA, they plan on releasing their list of the 75 greatest players in history. And the last time the NBA officially did this was back in 1997 when they were celebrating their 50 greatest players. And I remember at the time I was a young, cat at that point. And I felt like for the most part, outside of Dominique Wilkins, they did a pretty good job of, getting all the players right. I'm going to kick it off like this. What I did, prepping for this one is I really thought to myself, okay, there's clearly enough talent that's coming to the league since 97 or even a few years before that when players were getting their name out there and really establishing themselves. They just hadn't done it long enough by 97 to be on the list. But my point is, a lot of talent has come through. So trying to name the 75 best, in my opinion, is going to be much harder than it was naming the 50 greatest back in 1997. And I came up with a list, and this is in no particular order, but I wanted to kick it off by shooting this list off to you of the 10 best since 97. So the 10 best since that list back in 97 came out. And here were the names I came up with. Bron, Kobe, Tim Duncan, Dirk, KG, Kevin Garnett, Bubba Chuck, AI, The Answer, Allen Iverson, Dwayne Wade, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard. An honorable mention to James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Klay Thompson. But those top 10 that I mentioned, starting with Bron, ending with Kawhi Leonard. Now, as you hear that, just off the top of the dome, this is the first time you're hearing this. What do you think of that list? Was there a name that I should have included? Is there a name I should have maybe kicked out of there and put someone else in? What are your thoughts, man?
I think it's a good list. I was trying to think of someone because I was waiting to see when you was going to name KD. So you named KD.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a shoo-in. You got Tim Duncan up there, which I think a lot of people will leave out. I think you wouldn't, but a lot of people who are casually do.
Why is that, though? Why, I'm glad you hit up on that. Why is Tim Duncan, who by all consensus is the best power forward in NBA history, one of the greatest winners in NBA history, multiple-time MVP, why is he left out? Why is he not discussed as he should be?
Because he's quiet. At the end of the day, he's quiet, right? Like, you don't know what Tim Duncan's doing right now. Every other NBA player, when they retire, they do commercials, they do shows, YouTube. Tim Duncan just left the game and went away. And that's how he was in the game. And then he went against bigger personalities than themselves. Like, he went up against Shaq. Shaq is just a naturally bigger personality. He went up against Kobe. He went up against, even with Detroit, they had bigger personalities than Tim Duncan was. So, yeah. So that's probably why. But no, I like your list. I'm trying to think of anybody glaring that you might have left out.
I mean, some people would say Giannis after the run he just had is. I had a friend of mine mention the other day that this run Giannis just went on reminded him of the 94 Hakeem Olajuwon, who, by the way, is my all time. Greatest center, starting center on my team, but that's a whole nother conversation. But his point was, we knew how great Hakeem was before 94 and 95. He was always in that top 10, top five conversation, but he just took it up a notch. And from a legacy standpoint, he took his name from somewhere like all time 30s, 20s, to anywhere between 10 and 15. And he was saying that Giannis did the same thing with the performance he had, not only just in the playoffs, but specifically the finals. So that was a name I didn't initially mention. Should I have?
I mean, I don't think you get any like if you put him on there. My thing is, the thing with Giannis is at least all those players, with the exception of AI, and I'm trying to think, make sure I remember the other list, did it multiple times. That's like all the players you're talking about, with the exception of AI, who he went to the finals and he got known for dragging like, and I feel sorry for his teammates, but he is known for dragging a bad, horrible team to the finals. Giannis, while his team is not the greatest team all the time, whatever, they had some ballers on there. Let's not have teammates. And I'm not one of those people, but people are going to talk about how injury prone this postseason was too. Like how many people were actually out. So for Giannis, while I think he gets the monkey off his back as far as now you got a title, nobody's going to talk about you, whatever, I do think to get to where he wants to go, he's going to have to win at least another one.
Okay.
So that's just my thing. I think if he wins one, he's always going to be never on that list that you want to be on, that, you know, Russell Westbrook is on and James Harden is on, the great players that never won, right? Nobody ever wants to be on that list. So he's off that list, but now for him to move up to where he wants to go, in my opinion, or at least where people want to rank him, because I don't know what he thinks, then he's going to probably have to do it again.
Now, you touched on something while you was making your point I want to tap into a little bit more, and that was the injuries throughout the postseason to the Clippers, to the Lakers, and specifically for Giannis to the Brooklyn Nets. And I think most people, myself included, I don't know how you feel about it, feel that if the Brooklyn Nets were healthy last year, even if they just had a healthy James Harden, a fully healthy James Harden, because we know he battled his way through the playoffs, but he wasn't healthy. He wasn't right. Even just a healthy James Harden and a healthy KD, they probably win the championship. First of all, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, if it was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. Like, who knows? Because here's the other thing you got to think about it. Because we keep saying if they were healthy.
Yeah.
Two of their top big three is injury prone anyway. So there's no guarantee that, you know, one of those two wouldn't have got an injury. We keep saying Harden. Harden is the kind of anomaly in the whole thing. So if he was healthy, fair. But there's nothing to say that KD wouldn't have got hurt in the next round. There's nothing to say that them going up against DeAndre Ayton and them boys, maybe DeAndre and them Ayton and them pull it out. You could also say if Anthony Davis was healthy, if Anthony Davis always gets hurt. So I can't make, you know, like I'm not in the business of making excuses for teams that have injury prone players, because you knew what you were signing up for. It's the Brooklyn Nets, you know, with that big three, just given data that two out of the three of them, for the past few years, don't play whole seasons. But if you can nail them and get them healthy for just one season, then you got something. So it's the same with the Lakers. I'm like, bro, you signed for Anthony Davis. You should have known what it was. Like, the one good year you got him, y'all won. But now it's the back end where he's going to be hurt. So you got to deal with that. So yeah.
Exactly. So we're not assigning no asterisks to this Bucks championship. They were the ones that showed up. Chris Middleton, shout out to him. But also Giannis, the way he operated, it's impossible, in my view, to put an asterisk on that championship because of the way that they showed up. You know what I mean? So, you know, but again, people talking about that, people saying that.
Because you know why? I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, talk about it.
No, the only reason why I say we don't is because if Chris Paul were the one, we wouldn't have put it up against Chris Paul. We wouldn't have put it, if they would have beaten the Bucks, we would not have put an asterisk by Chris Paul, because we love Chris Paul and wanted to make sure he got one. So with Giannis, like, he went through everybody who he was supposed to beat, he beat, period. If they were hurt, they were hurt. Like, you know, that's the game. You got to take those things. And if KD had better basketball IQ, I'm about to get shot down. Have had his foot on the line, then, hey, that's on. That's not on Giannis. Like, KD wasn't hurt. His foot was just too big. Like, that's what that is. So that happens. Go back a couple of years. Kawhi hit the luckiest shot of all time to move on to the next round.
Yes, he did.
I don't put no asterisk against him for that. Like, hey, if he shot that shot 10 times, he probably only hit it that one. So that's just how it goes.
Yeah, man. And we got to touch on this real quick before we double back to the 75th. And Chris Paul, CP3. In my opinion, he's a top five point guard of all time.
Absolutely.
No debate.
Absolutely.
But, come on, man. You know, we love him and we know what we get from him, but there has been, let's just call it issues in the playoffs with him coming through and taking it all the way to the chip, the way we saw Zeke do, right? The way we saw some of these other great point guards that he is in the conversation with do. Magic. Put it this way. How many point guards all time are you listing before you get to CP3?
Say that one more time.
How many point guards all time, if he's in the conversation to be one of the best point guards of all time, how many point guards are you personally, CJ, coming up with before you get to CP3? Who are you putting in front of CP3 all time?
Well, Magic Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Thomas.
All right.
Stockton. Yeah, I think Stockton. So that's three.
Jason Kidd.
That's where it gets iffy for me. That's where it is. Because you know why? I put Steph above Jason Kidd.
Okay.
So, like, Steph might be, that's where I thought you were going to go, was where okay. I rank him against Steph. Because it's going to be hard, bro. I think Steph might be better than him.
Yeah, and that's where I was going next. I was going right after Jay Kidd. I was going to put Steph in there, and I was going to head to Gary Payton. But my point is, he is in that conversation. Like, basically, once you get past Magic and once you get past Zeke, and we'll go ahead and say Steph, because I think from an impact standpoint, Steph is probably a better – again, pure point guard, I'll take Jason Kidd. But if you're taking everything into account, I'll have Steph above – Jay Kidd, I honestly might have step above Isaiah if you're taking everything into account and only behind Magic. But my point is, he's in that conversation. But we can't ignore what we've seen in the postseason where he has not been able to – put it this way. You can go to Isaiah Thomas, and if it's a situation where you're filling out the game and you're going, look, man, we just might have to really lean on you to do this. You can go to Isaiah Thomas and say, Zeke, we need 35 tonight. Magic. Kareem is out. We need you to give us 30 tonight, and he'll go out and give you 42 as a rookie. You can go to Steph and say, Steph, Clay ain't got the shot. They all over him. We need 35 from you. We need you to just take it over and not just be the traditional point guard. And you know Steph will do it. We have not seen CP3 be able to do that when it comes down to it. He's the best, probably in my opinion, one of the best as a definitive – The definition of a point guard, he's one of the best. But when you say, okay, man, the game calls for you to just take it over and take us to that dub, and we've seen him not be able to do it, and we've seen him not be able to do it on several occasions. So at some point, as great as he is, when do we have to have the conversation about, but when it really counted, couldn't quite get it done?
But when we say that, though, to be fair to him, a lot in every example you just said, all those other players really had another kind of Hall of Famer, top 75, if not top 75, top 100 all-time NBA player.
Sure.
When is Chris Paul had that? Are we going to say Blake Griffin in his Clippers days? Are we going to say...
We're going to say the closest he probably ever really came until this year. How about that year he had with Harden? Now, I understand it was a hamstring injury, but, I mean, Harden was literally an MVP at that time.
And that's where I was going to go, because I was going to say the only time he's really had one, he got hurt. So we can't, like, when he had one, they were balling out of control, and he got hurt. The same thing this year. Like, when he has a core, he's proven he can at least take them. And to be fair, he just ran up against Giannis. Like, let's be real. Like, you ran up against him at 30. Chris Paul's got to be, what, 36, 37?
Right.
He's going up against who will probably go down as, when they do this list for their 100-year anniversary, probably in the top half, all-time NBA players in his prime. When it's all said and done, like, that's what I'm saying. You're going against Giannis, who will not be denied. Like, that's you running up against a buzzsaw. Like, so that just kind of happens sometimes, you know?
Even in 2018, he's going up against arguably the best offensive team of all time in the Warriors. So I understand where you're coming from. Yeah.
And like, then those happens. Clippers like, think teams. About it. Sometimes you just run into a buzzsaw. If LeBron wouldn't get – if the Warriors would not have existed, LeBron would undoubtedly be the best player of all time.
True.
That's just what it is. If the Warriors didn't put that super team – or if Kyrie didn't get hit and get hurt, excuse me, hit. Get hurt in 2015, that's another title on him. And now you're at five instead of because the year they went against the Warriors the first time, if Kyrie was healthy, they were beating that Warriors team.
True.
So hell, if Kevin Love was healthy, they probably would have got that Warriors team. That first Warriors team. To be fair, once they got KD, it was over.
Like, yeah, you're talking about the joint. Yeah, you're talking about the 15 squad. You know what I'm saying? The pre-KD squad. Yeah, I got you. I got you. And, you know, one thing I will touch on real quick is this. I think Giannis understood, I don't know if I'm getting back here with this particular team. And, you know, and to your point, he just made up his mind, I won't be denied. I don't care. I don't got a jump shot right now. I'm going to take it inside, and none of these boys got nothing for me. They lunch me. I'm going to take it inside. I'm going to drive. And he gave you some post up too. And he gave you – I loved how he elevated because his understanding of the game, knowing how to get his teammates involved too. As a passer, he improved. Defensively, I always gave him credit for being a good shot blocker, but – I didn't realize how much of a good rim protector he was, meaning even if he's not necessarily blocking all the shots, he's making you think about him, so he's affecting shots. He gave you, like, the all-around performance, swinging it back to the 75th. Now, before this, they had the NBA's 50 greatest. And after that, you know, as the years have gone on and as you've seen other players come in the league and establish themselves, you know, we have our debates. Me and you have had our debates. My man Curtis, shout out to my man Curtis from State Cop and Kicks. We've had our debates among other people. And the top 10 that I had, and I'm just going to go off the dome here, all time, at the time, Jordan, Bron, Kareem, Magic, Russell, Kobe, Wilt Chamberlain, Larry Bird, Hakeem Olajuwon, Tim Duncan. Those were my top 10 players of all time. Now, here's where I'm going with this. 75th anniversary. So the next 25, and I kicked this off at the top of the show, and I'm going to go ahead and kick it off to you again just to, you know, refresh your memory and for everybody listening. So the top 10 for me out of the next 25, meaning leading to the 75th, they weren't either in the league or they hadn't played long enough to be considered for the top 50. So we got Bron, we got Kobe, we got Tim, we got Dirk, Kevin Garnett, Chuck, AI, Dwayne Wade, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and Kawhi Leonard. CJ, here's my question. Of those names that I just kicked out from the next 25, would you take anyone off of either the top 10 that I listed or your top 10 all time and put anyone from the next 25 in their place?
So I'm taking, so out of your top 10, so for example, somebody got to come out for Jordan is what you're saying.
Don't listen, man. Don't do it. Don't do it. No, because Jordan was obviously in the top 50. So for him, obviously, we know he's the best player of all time. He's fine. But say, for example, Hakeem Olajuwon, would you take out a Kevin Durant or Hakeem Olajuwon and put in a Kevin Durant? Or put in.
Oh, yeah. I got you.
So you feel where I'm coming from?
All right, so I would probably take out, because I feel like KD got a, he's close though. I pretty much can leave your list, because where did you have Shaq on your list?
He wasn't even in my top 10. I got Shaq 12 all time.
Oh, well, see, you wilding. All right, hold on. So we
Let's talk about it.
We gotta take somebody out to put Shaq on there.
So you got a Shaq in your top 10.
I mean, how can you not?
Come on, man. Stop.
Man,
Stop.
What are you talking about?
All right, I'll put it this way.
Shaq is so great. The only reason he's not great is because he was lazy. I want you to think about that. He was so great that look at you put him in your top 15. We may disagree, but you got him at least in your top 12. Him being lazy, every other player above him probably put their all into it.
Oh, yeah.
He got top 12 off being lazy. For you. For me, he's at least top 10.
Then who you taking off? Are you taking off Akeem and putting Shaq in there?
All right, give me your top 10 list again.
All right, in order.
Jordan.
LeBron.
Well, first off, you got to switch Jordan and LeBron, but that's another debate. Go ahead.
I'm not doing this with you right now.
Go ahead.
Jordan.
All right.
LeBron. Kareem. Magic. Bill Russell. Kobe, Wilt Chamberlain, Larry Bird, Hakeem Olajuwon, Tim Duncan. Those are currently my top 10 all time.
Oh, man.
So if you're saying Shaq got to be in there.
Somebody got to come out.
You got to get out of there, man.
I guess. I mean, that seems like a very fair one. I would feel wrong taking anyone out.
See, this is where it gets hard, man. When you're talking about the best of the best.
If you're asking, I don't want to piss people off, but screw it. I'll take Larry Bird out of there.
Talk about it.
I'll take Larry Bird. Your computer's frozen, so I can't see your reaction. But I'll take Larry Bird.
Are you serious, man?
I'll take it, Larry Bird. I'm taking Larry Bird. I got to
talk about
it. Because I just, and maybe this is all biased. Like, I'll be the first one that. To me, I think whenever you make a best player list, it's a little bit of bias that goes into it.
Right, right.
I am personally, and don't get me wrong, if you leave Larry Bird in there, I'm not arguing with you. That's why it was hard. But Shaq was just so dominant. And I think, and it's all about what you remember seeing. And to be fair, Shaq was such an important part of me growing up and watching the NBA.
There you go.
That he is literally the most dominant force I've ever seen, including Jordan. Including anyone that you want to name. Even when I went back as I got older and started watching older NBA tapes just to kind of learn the history, there's nobody like him. Period. And I don't think you'll ever see anyone like him again. I think you will see players like all of the players you just mentioned. I think you have, maybe not as great, but to some extent you see.
Where it's comparable, yeah.
Yeah, it's comparable. Hell, two people on your list, and Kobe and Jordan, you know what I'm saying? Like, you see it all the time, RIP Kobe, but you see those type of styles all the time. I don't think you'll ever see anybody like Shaq.
Yeah.
Ever. Because you got to think about how they play the NBA. And then you also have to think about the unique combination of size, power, and strength that he had that is just literally unparalleled. So for me, that's why I put him in the top 10. To be fair, if you kept Larry in there, like, once again, I'm not arguing with you. Like, once you named your list, I was like, all right, no, that's a fair list. But for my list, I would have to have Shaq in there.
You know what?
And to be fair, if Larry should probably, if we're... You know, I might have to take Olajuwon out. You know what? Because I would feel wrong leaving Larry in there.
Olajuwon, the dream.
So I'll probably have to take Olajuwon out. And I know that, and that hurts.
That was a body shot, man. You just delivered a body shot to me. You know I got him as my all-time starting center, man. So to hear that one.
Here's the thing. I think Hakeem is probably a better center, if you were ever to like build the team. Well, no, I'll build a team. I actually would draft Shaq. I would draft Hakeem for longevity. But if I got for like 6 years, I have either player, give me Shaq. Give me Shaq. And I know it's a whole career. So to be fair, I get the argument. And I get people are going to say Hakeem is more skilled. Get killed in your comment section. And that's fair. But Shaq was just so dominant, man. I got to. I can't take Larry out because what Larry and Magic did for the NBA is just, I would be, you're right, I would be messed up to take him out. So I got to take Hakeem out.
I can't take
Tim Duncan out because Tim Duncan is actually my favorite NBA player of all time. So I can't take him out.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. I grew up loving Tim Duncan. Because he was super chill and he just got the job done. It was something about that I particularly liked. And he just went about his business. And plus, those Spurs uniforms were kind of dope. I gravitated to the silver and gray. I was like, oh, to the black and gray or whatever. And that was just super dope. But yeah.
No doubt, man. But Shout out to Tim, your list is fair.
I can't. Dang. That was a good list.
Appreciate that. Appreciate it. And trust me, it ain't easy, man, because you're leaving out. You're talking about Moses Malone. You're talking about Julius Erving. You're talking about, you know, Shaq. You're talking about KD. You're talking about Steph, who both of those of the players who have emerged beyond LeBron and beyond Kobe, of the players that have emerged and really established themselves since the top 50, those two more than any of the other ones, including, you know, obviously, you know, including Kobe and LeBron as well, I think they're flirting in that 10 to 15 conversation, both of them. I got Steph KD.
Let's be real. I personally have LeBron as the best player of all time. I know you disagree. If KD get two more chips, we're going to have a real uncomfortable conversation, or at least I will, about versus Bron. I'm going to have an uncomfortable conversation. If KD gets a couple more chips, I'm going to have an uncomfortable conversation about where KD ranks versus Bron.
You're not going to just throw that out there.
I'm going to throw that out there. And I know a lot of people going to be like, well, the Warriors, okay, fine. The Heat, but we're going to have an uncomfortable conversation.
Who's a better, in your book, who's a better pure basketball player? Offense, defense, just five tools on offense, defense, on ball, off ball. Who's a better pure basketball player?
I say LeBron.
And you said it with some hesitation, man.
Because when you say best pure hooper, right? I think LeBron's a better defender, bar none.
Yes.
But I also think KD's underrated as a defender, too. I don't think he can guard at every type of player that LeBron was in his prime. But I think he can be serviceable on defense. Like, I don't think I'm about to be embarrassed to have him play defense, to be fair. I think LeBron's a better passer, but I don't think I think KD's a good passer, too. The other point is I've never had to see KD do what Bron has had to do. And that's very fair, because when we asked him, he either had Russell or he had Steph and Clay.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has James. So I do think they're both similar in one sense, in that I feel like I can plug either one of them into any system and I'm good.
Mm.
More so than any other two players on your list, that's even including Jordan. Like, I feel like I can plug those two in any type of system offensively or any NBA team, and they will find a way to hoop and get theirs.
Fair enough.
Particularly KD, because KD does not need the ball in his hand.
On ball, off ball. Now, and you know what? You were going where I was leaning. As far as plugging him into a system, the one, you know, thing I will say about Bron, and again, I have him as my second greatest player of all time. You've got him number one. But he needs to be on ball. He needs to be on ball. LeBron has never thrived. You've never really seen it. So I can't say he can't do it. But we've never seen LeBron off ball and be an effective player. He's always been on ball. He has been the system. Now, mind you, it's been to his success and to this team's success. But one thing that I will give KD over Bron is that we've seen KD be just as effective and just as deadly off ball than he is on ball, which basically allows your team to have more flexibility versus a LeBron. So if you want to have the KD over LeBron just as a pure basketball player, not career accomplishment, not impact, we ain't talking about that. We're talking about just pure baller. If you want to give it to KD over Bron, that's one argument that I will give to KD over Bron. But I want to kick this to you real quick before we move on. Not career accomplishment, not, you know, impact. just strictly as a ball player at their very best. RIP to my man Cole, but I got to ask you, who you taking on your squad, Kobe or KD?
But Kobe falls into the Jordan thing of me, to once again, where I think, and this is my art, and let me be clear, when I say an uncomfortable conversation, I still have Bron as the best. But if somebody comes up to me and says, yo, I think KD is the best, and here's why, he got four chips, he did this, this, and that, I might can make an argument, but I'm not going to lie, I might be sweating a little as I counter. I might be like, well, this and that. But I still will probably have LeBron, so I just want to make sure I'm clear on that before people. Right. Yeah, I just wanted to be clear. It's uncomfortable only because he has more of an argument. But back to your original point, I would say Kobe, because I think Kobe in his prime was a better defender than KD is. And also, yeah. But here's the thing about when we talk about KD, and I mean this with all, because I'm not even a big KD fan, let me be clear. I'm not, but I can't deny him as a hooper, which is what he is.
Yes.
Like, when you just think about somebody, I'm like, yo, you hit the park, I got first pick. Yeah, I might pick, I'm probably go with LeBron. My second pick is probably gonna be KD though. Because I know KD. I know, you know what, he's not going to get super embarrassed on the defensive side. And offensively, these boys are not going to be able to hang him.
True.
Period. Like, I know. And I know he don't need the ball in his hand. So I know no matter what I get, and he can create his own shot. And he has enough of a post. Now, he's not like Tim Duncan or Giannis in the post, but he can maneuver there.
He can get it done.
Yeah, he get it done.
If you need it down low, you know he can get it done.
Period. Yeah, he get it done. And he's a definitely a good three-point shooter. And if we go into the foul line, he's automatic. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I would pick him, but I would probably go Kobe just because Kobe's a better defender. And so you can't deny Kobe. And to be fair, I'd probably pick Jordan too. But I think KD, some of it by his own doing, to be fair, so I'm not, completely defending him, gets his skills kind of underrated in a way that I'm uncomfortable with. Like, I think a lot of people underestimate. It's kind of like with Westbrook, too. Like, people just underestimate their skill in a way that I don't particularly like. And I'm not a big fan of either one of those guys.
But I feel you, though, and I understand your point. I think KD, let's just be real. The Golden State thing was held against him, flat out. Mm-hmm. To lose to the team that was already a championship team that you should have beat when you was in OKC, when you had Russell, and then to go and join them, the perception that they were already a championship team without you, and then you go and join them, a lot of people held that against him. They said, look, man, fuck that. Like, he cheated. Like, he went to a team that didn't need him, that was already a championship team, and he won not because of what he did, but because of the team that was around him. I don't personally believe that. That to me is garbage. I think KD was way more important to that team, and I don't think that they win either of those two championships if KD is not on that team. So I don't personally agree with that, but I think we both know that that was the overwhelming narrative, and it's been held against him.
I was gonna say, I can understand the cheat code argument. That's completely fair.
You don't agree with it, is what you're
saying. Yeah, I can even understand if you want to put that up against Bron. I'm cool with it. My thing is, to your point, they don't win. They may get away with one. They may get one more. They may, to be fair, because I don't want to be disrespectful to that team, because was great. But they don't get two in a row without KD.
No.
I don't think that. They may split it. Because let's be real. If KD doesn't join that team, it's still probably the Warriors versus the Cavs.
Right.
You may think that him and Westbrook finally figure out. I don't think so. But I still got the Warriors making it back to the finals those two times.
You got to make LeBron's it back going. Those two times, right? So you certainly got them back in the finals like in 2019, the year that KD got hurt.
And, well, here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
because Houston is also a factor there too. True. So I don't know if they get back to the finals both times. To you make me think about that for a second. I know they at least get back one more time because that team was like, let's not be disrespectful. That team was great. Like that team was a great team before he even came.
And then think about the fact that mentally, where they would have been at, being that they had the 3-1 collapse in 16 and what that would have done to them. I think that following year in 17, I think they kind of have a Spurs in 14 based on what happened to them in 13 after the Ray Allen shot camp type of season where they like, hell no, we ain't going out like this. We on a mission. I think they get 17. I don't think that they may get to the finals in 18. But then again, now we're talking about, we brought it up earlier, the CP3. Harden squad. I don't know if they beat that squad if KD's not on that team. And I certainly don't have them getting back in 19. I just don't. I think that their window was 15 through 18, at least as far as finals appearances are concerned. And they might get just one more outside of the one they got in 15 and 17, just on a revenge tour.
So, I mean, KD joining the league changed a lot of stuff. Like, I don't think LeBron's a Laker if KD joins. If KD doesn't join the Warriors, because I think Bron at least gets one more title in Cleveland, if not two, because let's be real, the East is still, if LeBron was still playing, he would still, I'm not saying have a cakewalk through the East because Giannis and the boys not playing.
Mm-hmm. But, they got something to say about that.
Yeah, but he would at least, he would have a road to the finals up until maybe last season. It was the first time I could see him, maybe. But you think about it, he would get those two against the Warriors where he would have probably won or at least split. Then he would have, his first year in LA, he would have still been in Cleveland. You know they would have made some type of moves to get somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think he joins because I don't think he needs to join. Because then you get multiple titles.
Mm-hmm.
You have a more of a guarantee. And I think LeBron saw that, yo, this East about to be super tough, at least top heavy wise.
Right.
So let me go to the Lakers where I know this is an organization that can attract free agents. So I think that has something to do with it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he joins because he probably figures if he gets one or two more in Cleveland that they can still find a way to compete. And you got to think about it. It makes more sense for him to stay in, from a legacy standpoint. And I don't know how much LeBron cares about legacy. If he has two or three in Cleveland, we having a completely different conversation.
If he does that, then, and I know you already got him as your best of all time, but if he does that, even I have to seriously sit down and evaluate Michael Jeffrey Jordan versus LeBron Ramon James. So I feel you on that point. KD, let me kick it back to him for a second. Now, we just talked about how, from a perception standpoint, we don't believe this, but we know the majority of a lot of people hold the Golden State thing against him and that they're not counting his rings the way that they'll count Jordan's or LeBron's Cleveland ring or his Miami, not necessarily the Miami rings, but his Cleveland ring, as he was that dude. He was that guy. The Giannis ring last year, he was that dude. He was that guy that really led his team to the chip when it really counted. So with that said, how important, and you brought this up earlier, but you were talking about it from a standpoint against LeBron, but just beyond that, KD gets a ring or two in Brooklyn. What does that do for his legacy and where does that send him all time from, we'll say from 15 to 20, wherever you have him now? What does that do if he gets championships in Brooklyn when it's like, okay, it's not him joining a super team. This is him being the guy that takes the, his team to the chip. What does it do?
Probably top 10 player.
Ooh.
Top 10. Top 10 player. We will have to. I think it'd be disrespectful not to. Because the other thing is once he gets those two, we look at his other two totally different. Right? It's the same thing that happened to Bron, right? When Bron won that ring in Cleveland, we looked at his Miami rings completely different.
We did. I know I did.
Right. Yeah. Like that was the thing, because to be fair, that argument was out there to a lesser extent, I think, but still out there with LeBron of, hey, you had to join D Wade. And it was different from, he had to join D Wade's team because it was still D Wade's team. D Wade had already had a title. Right. So we had kind of cheapened to a lesser extent than maybe what happened with KD, because them boys beat KD, which adds a whole nother layer, but it's still, it was still out there. But that Cleveland ring really helped elevate LeBron. And then that LA ring, even though it came in like a crazy season, helped him again, right? So I think every title helps you look at the previous championships totally different, because you know why? When we bring up KD, now we say, oh, he got two titles. Oh, where you get them? The Warriors. Oh, you mean that team where he's doing blah, 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 blah. In 20 years, we're going to be, all we're going to remember is KD was a 3-4 time champion, period. that's it. Like, there is no more. That's the thing about Giannis, too. That's why he's going to have to do it again, because Giannis, if he cares, like, I mean, he wants to, but right. I'm talking about from a legacy standpoint. When we bring up Giannis, we're going to be like, oh, he won that one time. Dope. Oh, you mean that year so-and-so was out. So-and-so. I'm not going to do that. But we all know in the barbershop, there's that one person. Well, hell, if Kobe, I mean, not Kobe, excuse me, RIP, if LeBron was healthy, or if Anthony Davis was healthy, or KD moved his foot, yeah, they're going to come up with all these ifs when he got it done. So with KD, he's going to have to do it, because people are going to always bring up that he, quote unquote, had the cheat code. Which I know, mean you disagree with, but a lot of people are going to go with, if we being real. A lot of people are going to roll with that. If those are the only two. And the other piece is, without Kyrie, there's no excuse for him to at least not make the Eastern Conference Finals.
No, you know what?
There's no excuse for him and Harden not to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. So they at least, anything short of that is a failure. You might make the argument anything short of an NBA Finals appearance damages him more than anything. Because he can't lose to Giannis again. Because they're going to be like, well, wait a minute, you got hard. Now, that was your excuse last year. This year, you got hard, and at least, because you don't got Kyrie, but you got hard. Y'all two are the two best players no matter who you play. Y'all got the best duo in the NBA. No matter who you play, y'all got the two best players on the court.
So you, what, time out. So you taking that duo over healthy AD and Bron?
Yeah, because I got Harden above AD.
Ooh.
I got Harden above AD. Like, if we're talking current, like, if they're all healthy, right. I think right now, in my personal opinion, right? And I got LeBron number one all the time, but I think right now, KD is a better player than LeBron, right now.
Oh, yeah. At this moment, yeah.
Yeah, LeBron. At this moment. Let me be clear on that. At this moment, I think LeBron is second. And I think Harden is over Anthony, AD.
Okay.
But, and I know that's a controversial one, because a lot of people are going to
tell me. You know where I was going.
But here's my thing. James Harden can do so much because he's running the point, especially if they let him run the point in that system.
Yeah.
That's going to be, he can show out there. And don't get me wrong, like AD, if you want to say AD is better than Harden and healthy, the other piece is I can't not take health into account. Because there's a chance AD don't finish that game. Or if they get into a series, there's a legit chance AD will miss time in that series. There's a legit chance. There's a legit chance there for KD too, to be fair. Right. But way more so for AD. But yeah, I got KD and Harden. And I also think they fit better together than AD and LeBron, who I think fit well together, don't get me wrong. But Harden and KD, they just fit together like a glove.
Yeah, they do. They do. And, you know, it's one of those things where it makes you wonder in retrospect with that OKC team. They were so young when they got to the finals. Oh, and ultimately, the organization went with Russell over James Harden. Sam Presti, man, knowing what he knows now, and if he can go back in time, does he do the same thing? Or does he keep Harden over Russell? But that's a whole nother. My point is,
that's an E60, man. That organization, that's an E60, boy. Because them, They had all three of them.
All three of them. And the Serge Ibaka that was getting ready to do some things. You know, it's crazy what they had on that squad.
Oh, they had a bunch of talent run through that squad.
Oh, yeah.
Through that squad. That's crazy when you think about all the players that ran through OKC.
But it's all about legacy, man, and KD. And ultimately, and you just touched on it a little bit. And so I'm going to go ahead and use what you touched on and transition to a teammate that when KD went there, the primary reason why he went there, because James Harden wasn't part of the conversation, was one, Kyrie Irving. And before we even get into the off-the-court thing with Kyrie, one thing that I wanted to bring up that was, you know, brought to my attention, there was a moment back in 2016 when he hit, and it's in the conversation, whether you have it as the biggest shot in NBA playoff history or not, it's in the conversation. The three after the block, the three-pointer that pretty much got Cleveland their first championship in over 50 years. And here's what his point was before we even get into what we're about to get to with Kyrie as far as right now. When he hit that shot, that was the mountaintop. It was a game seven on the road championship clincher. That's the mountaintop. And here's what his point was. All the conversation, understandably so to a degree, was about LeBron and the block. People, of course, acknowledged the big shot that Kyrie hit, but it wasn't like when they released the championship DVD that they do every year for the NBA champions. The highlight and the tip, or basically the capstone to that championship, was the block. The number one story coming out of that was the block. It wasn't Kyrie's shot. From that point on, what have we seen out of Kyrie that gives us the impression that he loves the game, that he truly loves the game, that the game of basketball is the number one priority for him? It's his number one love. It's his number one goal to be the best basketball player he can be. Because my man's point is, after he did that, what satisfaction did he get from it? What real acclaim did he get from it? What did that do to him? If I can do this and not get the acclaim from the public or not internally feel the satisfaction and the gratification of being able to deliver on that stage, what else can I do? What else can I do that the game of basketball brings me joy to that degree? It's very similar to, I'm pretty sure, how KD felt about getting those two rings. Like, he was expecting for people to say, I'm the best player in the world now. He was expecting for people to say, hey, you may not like what happened, you know, as far as him getting over there, but give him his props. And it didn't happen. And what did that do to him the rest of the time he was there? Even though he was hooping, was he really happy? Was he really fulfilled? And we don't know. But his point was, as far as Kyrie was concerned, he hit that shot, didn't get the acclaim. What did it do to him? And has he really loved the game of basketball since? And now I tie that in. So now I tie that into what we're going on. But before we even go there, talk about it.
To be fair, I think Kyrie loves the game. Like, I don't want to do that. I think it's not the most important thing to Kyrie, which is two different things. You can love something and it not be the most important thing to you.
Okay, talk about
it. So I think he might love it. I don't think he is obsessed with it the way other people are. That's to be fair to him. And so on that one end, I think that. Now, to criticize Kyrie a little bit, it wasn't like before LeBron James got there, he was hooping out of his mind and taking the Cavaliers to the playoffs either. You get what I mean? Mm. So, like, let's not act like that moment was something that happened that impacted Kyrie so heavily. Because to be fair, he wasn't a winning player before Bron. So I can get if he was even a kind of a winning player before Bron. Like, even he was like, playoffs, first round exit, I could be like, yeah, I could see how that hurt his pride. He ain't had that before LeBron got there. If we just being blunt. If
he wasn't sniffing the playoffs in the East. I got you. Yeah.
So he wasn't like he had had some form of acclamation to even get used to. Like, that was the biggest he's ever been. And to be fair, he's had other opportunities since, right? It wasn't like this was the only opportunity he ever had. right? Because right after that, he went to Boston. If he would have did that in Boston and won a title, yeah, he's getting all the accolades he wants, all right. Everything he wants. And that wasn't even his team. But what happened? We saw, hey, the Cavaliers can still make it to the finals without you, bro. Mm-hmm. And Boston played better without you, bro.
Yeah, Tatum and Brown showed up.
They were better without him, which makes no sense. Then he goes to the Nets. While we're waiting for KD to come, let's not act like they didn't. Kyrie should be good enough to have you in playoff contention. There's no reason Kyrie Irving's not good enough to have you in playoff contention. In the East, which is still, for all we talk about being top heavy, still at the bottom is kind of but it's still, it's top heavy, but not as deep as the West.
Right, right.
So here's the thing. Kyrie, to be fair, I think loves the game. And there are things more important to him than that, maybe. But I think that I don't think that changes his dedication to practice, his dedication on the court, any of that. I think it changes his dedication when he might take a day off or a couple games off because something is impacting him emotionally.
Right, right.
Which, you know, whatever. You know, I'm not going to speak on that too much. But he's just not a winning basketball player in the same vein that we like to think about. The only time he was a winning player, which makes you give more credit to LeBron, I think, is when he was with LeBron. Because think about all the problems we've had from Kyrie since he's left LeBron. It's kind of like Antonio Brown in the NFL. It makes you respect the Steelers for how much they kept it under wraps. Because well, you know,
as long as they did, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, AB ain't just started acting out. So you know Kyrie was probably doing this type of stuff when he was with Cavs. It just, they kept it under wraps. So for me, if Kyrie don't want to play this year for whatever reason, you grown man, I respect that. The Nets should still compete for a title without him.
But if you are, but my question is this, to further your point. If you're Kevin Durant, if you're James Harden, okay, so at least Kevin Durant, say what you want about how people feel about those two chips. He's a two-time champion, a two-time finals MVP, and outplayed LeBron, regardless of the teams around him, outplayed LeBron when it mattered most in two NBA finals. So if nothing else, he has that. But if you're the Brooklyn Nets organization, if you're James Harden, who went there expecting to play with Kyrie, if you're Kevin Durant, who went there primarily to play with Kyrie Irving, and now you see him taking this stance. And basically, as we're having this conversation right now, we don't know if this dude's going to play at all. And we do know, based on what they talked about at media availability, they are getting of the mindset, meaning the Nets and the players, to not expect to play with Kyrie Irving this season. Again, they talked about maybe him just doing the road games, and the Nets took a look at themselves and said, what are we doing? Like, this is ridiculous, all right? So where do you stand on Kyrie? Forget the, you know, if he's taking time off for personal reasons, we're not going to go there. I think that's a good call on your point. I'm doing the same. But the official stance, I'm the voice for the voiceless. I don't feel like I should be forced to put something into my body when I don't believe in that. And mind you, he said recently, I'm not an anti-vaxxer personally. I am speaking up for people who are losing their jobs because they're not following this mandate. Like, this is, I am doing something that's bigger than basketball. There was an anonymous quote that Stephen A. talked about where he was literally comparing himself to Muhammad Ali in the stance he took during the Vietnam War. He's, in my view, I think that his heart is in the right place, but I also see a young man who is searching for a purpose outside of the game of basketball, but at the same time, he's hurting his teammates and his organization in a year coming up here for them that if they're healthy, and again, you talked about, you know, injury history, if they're healthy, they're the championship favorites, West or East, regardless of conference. So just taking all of that into account, where do you stand with Kyrie from his stance standpoint? And then also, what's your opinion on, okay, what his stance is doing to the team, being that he is out right now?
Well, here's the thing. From the standpoint, I may disagree, but I respect where he's coming from a philosophical standpoint of forcing people to put stuff in your body when you don't want to. So fair play to him. I may disagree with it. You know, I don't want to get into it too deep because, you know, I try to stay away from stuff like this because people get real on both sides in their feels on that. But let's say I believe that it's your right as a grown person. If you don't want to take it, fine. Don't take it. Nobody's going to force you to. I also, in the same breath, believe there's consequences to that. Like, that's just what it is. You are free to make the choice, but here are the things. This is not an NBA rule. This is not a Nets rule. This is New York saying that you have to be vaccinated to come into the arena and to work there.
Right.
So from the Nets standpoint, let's take feelings, take politics, whatever you got to feel about it. From the Nets standpoint, they're like, I'd rather have you none of the time than have you half.
Mm.
They're just, this is what it is. Like, whatever you feel about it, whether you're anti, pro, whatever the case is, the simple fact is he can only play in half the NBA games, period. That's right. Not even including playoffs. Or, like, let's not even talk playoffs. This for the regular season, he can only play half the time. Why would I then want you to only play half the time when, I need to build chemistry? Because you talk about a championship. Yeah, let's not forget, James Harden hasn't signed his extension. So it's not like they're guaranteed James Harden services next year or the year after. They got KD locked up, and that's pretty much it. So, and I think Kyrie has a player option for next year, if I'm not mistaken. So this is your best year, as far as you know, to get a championship. I can't have my third best player, which is what Kyrie is at this point, on our team for half the time, particularly when it's not injury related, because what's going to happen is, once again, I don't care about your opinion on the matter, not you per se, but I'm talking to people. Your opinion on the matter is irrelevant to the fact that he's only there half the time. And we all know what's going to happen when they start losing home games. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Oh, you think Kyrie should have made it? Oh, man. What do you think? When is Kyrie's going to get the vaccine? Blah, blah, blah. It's going to become a distraction to where I think you just send them home like they're doing. Yeah. And, yo, we'll pay you for half. We'll pay you for the road games because we're just telling you to chill. You're not going to get paid for the home games. And whenever you get vaccinated or whenever New York changes their law, you're welcome back. I would wait a couple months to see what he's going to do, and then I'll just trade him. I don't get, because why keep him? Why keep him if you're not going to use him?
Okay, before we, I didn't even... If you're talking about trading him, all 31 other teams in the league would be dealing with the same headache that the Nets are. So if you're talking about trading him, how do you expect to forget 100 cents on the dollar on the trade? How do you expect to get reasonable compensation as far as either, you know, picks or players coming back, knowing that you understand what I'm saying?
No, but here's the thing. I'd rather have, I don't know, $20 I can spend and $100 I can't ever use. You get what I'm saying? So, like, I get what you're saying. Like, you're not going to get reasonable back from them. That's completely fair. But what I'm saying is there are places you could trade them where, because outside of New York, this is not a problem necessarily. And maybe I think in Golden State and LA, but those are one-offs, where him not being vaccinated, it's a hassle. Don't get me wrong. But he can still play in home games. He can still play in more than half of the games. He might miss a game if they go to New York or whatever. Like, if you trade him to Texas, Texas ain't never going to get a vaccine mandate.
No.
Ever.
Hell no, they not. You know that.
So you can trade him to, like, Dallas or something like that and whatever.
Now, San Antonio, whatever.
Yeah. You get the other problems because Kyrie brings other issues. But there are teams that would trade for him to where you might get some pieces back. And I get what you're saying. Like, you're not going to get reasonable compensation. But you can't use them right now.
Something is better than nothing. I got
Yeah, something's better than nothing unless you think, unless you wholeheartedly either believe that he's going to get it, which is his choice, once again, or you believe New York is going to change their rule and you can maybe have him in time for the playoffs, or you're just writing off the season and hope that you can have him next season. If that's your mentality, fine. But New York is not likely to change that rule anytime soon. And he's not likely, for his own personal beliefs, which I respect, to get it anytime soon. So you might as well get a couple role players out the deal if you can't use them. That's all I'm saying. If you can't use them, why pay them and why have them?
It's bigger than basketball. Whether you agree with his stance or not, he's clearly, you're talking about what? How much money is he? They took away the contract extension for right now, right? Which is well over, what is that, 150 for him, something like that? So he's, at this point in time, he's willing to stand on this to the point where he's willing to pay the price financially, and he's willing to pay the price as far as the perception of how people are going to get on him because he's not necessarily there for his teammates. So whether you agree with him or not, he's clearly willing to make the sacrifice. And if nothing else, we've seen this with other athletes. I got to respect him for that. So Kyrie, you take your time, do what you got to do. KD, this is an opportunity for you with a healthy James Harden to take this team. And if you get to the championship, as CJ put it, now we got to start having different conversations about what this does for your legacy, because these are not going to be Golden State championships. This will be a championship that you took your team, Kyrie or not, to the promised land for a franchise, although fairly young, has not even sniffed playoff success. So this is the championship that elevates him when you're talking about top 10 conversations, when you're talking about small forward conversations. You talked about KD, or excuse me, talked about Bron. All right, you talked about Larry Bird. Right now, I've got KD as my third best small forward of all time behind those two. Let him get a championship or two in Brooklyn, and it changes the conversation. So Kyrie, you do what you got to do. KD, get on this court and do what you got to do. Plenty at stake for both guys.
So let me ask you this real quick.
Yo.
So what do you think about the fact that you know deep down that KD and James Harden have to sign off on him sitting at home? Like, we both know that, right? Because if they had said, yo, we want him even for the road games, like, we need him, then he's out there for the road games. Like, we both know that.
We know,
like,
that.
So the fact that they either suggested the idea, which they probably didn't, or, well, better yet, they were okay with what management said without any type of real pushback. Because if they had pushed back, he'd be playing. It's my personal belief.
We know
my personal belief. If they had pushed back, he'd be playing. So the fact that they hadn't pushed back, and more importantly, the fact that they haven't really spoken since the decision has been made, what do you take away from that?
Here's what's interesting, because at that same media availability, James Harden and Kevin Durant, at least publicly to the media, stated that they have not personally talked to Kyrie. And that, to me, is astonishing. That they have not, they said publicly. Now, again, we know, you know, these guys can lie to the media. They don't got to, but they were willing to say publicly that they haven't even directly spoken with Kyrie since the Nets made this ruling. So to your point, I don't think that they came up with the idea, but I firmly believe that, as you said, this does not happen from the Nets unless the Nets, Sean Marks and the Nets organization goes to Kevin Durant and James Harden and they say, look, this is where we're at. Do you have any pushback? And they said no. But it's more so, to your point, yeah, they are signing off on this because they're saying we can't have this distraction. I personally also think that there's a small element of this from KD and Harden's standpoint of, this is on us. We hoopers. We're league MVPs. The two of us can take this team to the finals. The two of us can win the NBA finals. So we're going to lock in. We're going to do what we got to do. We're going to carry this team. Kyrie, go do your thing, bro. But when you make a decision, make a decision. Take your time. In the meantime, we got this. So Brooklyn, Nets organization, release that statement. Sit down with Kyrie, let him know. One thing that I would say is this. If you're Kyrie Irving, if it's true that you haven't talked to KD and you haven't talked to Harden, like since this has happened, since the Nets made this, I have a bit of a problem with that because you have a right to feel how you want to feel. No one is questioning that. But you got to give your guys a heads up, man. You got to give your guys a heads up and you got to be able to talk with them privately. That's one-on-one about, you know what I mean, where you at. So at least they understand. Well, I think so. I don't think you make this decision to say, I'm going to sit out and I'm not going to even have a conversation with them. Come on, man.
Well, no, to be fair, and this is why I'm going to be fair. It's either one of a few situations, right? And I'm going to give credit to Nick Wright, I think, who brought this up, which is a fair point.
All right.
That either, okay, because how do we know that it's not Kyrie who's not picking up the phone?
Ooh.
Like, and I'm not trying to get into that gossipy thing, but because it's only a few situations, right? Either both men have decided not to reach out to each other for whatever reason.
All right.
Either Kevin has tried to reach out to Kyrie and Kyrie is not responsive.
Hmm.
Or Kyrie has tried to reach out to Kevin and Kevin's not responsive. Because to be fair, I'm not necessarily worried about Harden because Harden and Kyrie does, at least from
the relationship is not the same, at least according to, yeah.
So for me, how do we know? And I don't know, and I don't think it matters because I think all situations are bad. If you're the Nets going forward with your long-term plan of retaining Kyrie, that's the other thing. That's the other reason why you trade him, because A, he has a player option for next year. And I think you're done with Kyrie from the Nets point of view.
Mm.
I think you just got to be done with him. Not because of, and to be fair to Kyrie, it's not necessarily because of anything, well, it is because of the stuff he's doing, but let's take this year out of it. Let's just remove this year, right. No matter what your feelings are. This is where I will hold it against Kyrie. If you are the Nets, you got to train him because you don't know if he's the type of dude that will take off work without calling you. And you can't have that. Like, let's remove this year from it because I was rambling for a minute. I got my thoughts now. Let's remove this year from it.
All right.
You got to trade him because out of your big three, he's the least reliable, the most injury prone, and your third best player.
Yeah,
because you got to let him go.
Mm.
And that's before this year. You could have said all three things before this year, before the man. So now when you add this on to it, bro, I gotta let you go. Because I can't. The only way I'm keeping you is if KD tell me I got to keep you. Because I know we got him locked up, but I don't want KD unhappy. So if KD tell me I got to keep you, I guess I can make it work. But understand that he give me the okay to shop you, kind of be like, bro, I ain't going to get in your way. Like, I'm not going to do anything, but I'm not going to get in your way.
I'm not necessarily saying yes, but I'm not saying no.
No, yeah. If he do that, you got to shop him. At this point, because you might get, while you're not going to get the return on the dollar from the skill point, you're probably going to get a player that's going to be more available. Probably going to get a player that's going to know their role. And at this point, when you got those two, when you got Harden and KD already, all you need is role players and shooting and some Ds. You need 3-D guys. Mm. Maybe a couple post players. The kind of cloud
try to get some real protection for Giannis and whoever else. Joel, yeah.
That's it. Kyrie's a nice to have, don't get me wrong. That pushes him over the top. But of the three of them, Kyrie is the most expendable.
He's a luxury, but not necessarily a necessity because of the other two guys that you got still either in their primes or at the tail end of their primes that can still do what they do. I got you.
Because you could say, that's my reasoning, right? Because before this year, it was clear that he was the third best player. Mm-hmm. It was just clear. And that's not a knock a lot. Actually, I give credit to Kyrie for telling James Harden, yo, you run point. I'm gonna find a way to do my thing. So to be fair to him, it's not a knock. When you got those three guys and you're the third best, it's not like a knock.
But it's just a tricky situation, though, because and it's a tricky situation because when he was available, when he wasn't taking,
and you didn't show up to work without calling, bro. Like, that's my imagine me and you do that. Like, we just like, nah, man, I ain't coming in. Oh, did you tell your boss? Yeah, I'll come back when I come back.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. You gotta let him go. You gotta let him go. I know it's unpopular because of how skilled he is.
Brooklyn, I'm telling you, man, it's a lot. It's a lot. Brooklyn, you know, it's a championship contender, but a lot to sort through, man. A lot to sort through. Mm.
And that is a wrap for the season 3 premiere, part 1. Stay tuned for part 2. Jasmine, get us out of here.
And never forget, whoever you want to be and whatever you want to be, always be the champion of it. That's champion's material.
You heard it from QJ. But for now, we're done.
We're done.